B-Pod Studios.
Casper and Murray have scorching hot takes. Twisting your mind with pet Celtics and bays. They'll also talk socks and out-of-town fame. Just call them up on this Saturday. Casper!
Hey, Murray.
Casper!
Hey, Murray.
Just call them up on this Saturday. Casper!
Hey, Murray.
Casper!
Hey, Murray.
Casper!
Hey, Murray.
Casper!
Casper and Murray, 98.5, the Sports Hub. Like I said, right to you. We've got one open line. You want to join us at 617-779-0985 as we just wrapped up the Sports Hub Celtics show. But it doesn't mean the Celtics conversation's got to stop. No, no. Let's go to Ryan in Manchester who wants to talk Brad Stevens. Hey, Ryan.
Yeah, I want to pile on Brad Stevens. Can I make a couple points?
You go right ahead. They,
so you got to remember from the beginning here, they've made this like put the baby gloves on for Brad Stevens. They had to trade any kind of conflicting player going back to Rondo. And they've had all these young, scrappy guys that like to play hard. This is the first time he's really had stars where he had to appease. And you go back and think about what Kyrie said in the beginning of the year or towards the middle of the year. We need a 15-year vet on this team. Like, that's direct shots calling him Brad, not calling him coach, all this other thing. And his rotations on top of that, I just want to pile on Brad a little bit, are driving me nuts. B-Rob, why does he take Tatum out of the game 6 minutes into the first quarter? The guy can be 4-for-4 with 8 points. He has to come out of the game after 6 minutes, and Marcus Morris and Marcus Smart, what are they doing in the starting lineup still? Like, Marcus Morris the other night killed us. Marcus Smart killed us the game before. Like, you should be tuning up for the playoffs now. So are you telling me that Marcus Smart and Marcus Morris are going to be in the starting lineup for the playoffs? Like, it should be Ojeleye, in my opinion, because Jaylen Brown pukes on himself every time he gets a ball. You saw him miss two free throws the other night at the end of the game because there was a lane violation on top of it. He's just driving me nuts, and I don't know what the answer is here, but I love your thoughts on it, B-Rob.
All right, we'll go to B-Rob in a second. Don't forget the other thing, Ryan. At least this is one of the things that's bugged me with Brad Stevens lately. Can you be later with timeouts? How many times lately, even in wins, like I'm yelling at my team, call timeout. Call a timeout. Team goes on like a 13-0 run. Call a timeout. Call a timeout. 5 minutes late. It's just like, dude, are you even paying attention? So, yeah, B-Rob, what's up with your boy Brad Stevens? He's always quick to ask your answer your questions when you're in the scrum.
This has been a tough year for Brad. Like, I'm just going to put, like, plain and simple. Everyone on this team can be better, and that includes Brad Stevens. Like, everything this caller just mentioned is warranted. And same thing with you, Jim, the timeouts. Like, and the question comes now for the playoffs. In the past, in the playoffs, he's been slow to react at times with lineup changes, with sitting guys down if things don't have it going. And so, you know, some of it's on the players. You got to be better. But then if a player doesn't have it, you got to sit them down. And so he's riding guys out now. Like, Morris is still in that lineup. He hasn't had that sprained ankle yet, Jim. He's still going. And we'll see what happens. But if he is playing like this and they don't make a change after game one or game two, then Stevens has to take responsibility.
I want to throw Jones' dark theory at you, because from a basketball standpoint, with the way that Jaylen Brown's played over the last close to 5 weeks or more, and the same goes for Marcus Morris and how bad he's been over the last month or so, from a basketball standpoint, there's no logical explanation as to why Jaylen Brown isn't in the starting five. Adam Jones believes the reason is because all the stuff going on behind the scenes with Jaylen Brown and how he's been, you know, he's been one of the issues there, at least in terms of, like, guys getting pissed, right? So is the reason he's not in the starting five just as simple as that, because Brad doesn't want to piss off some of the other starters?
I don't think it's that alone. I think it's more like don't want to hurt Morris's confidence potentially by pulling him right now. I think that's the bigger factor. I think the other issue, too, is Jaylen doesn't rebound well. It's Jaylen for Morris, and Al Horford, obviously, not a great rebounder either. Then you could be in real trouble in the glass. So I think Brad kind of points to that. He sees Jaylen playing well off the bench, like, all right, I don't want to mess with him right now. At least he has it figured out. We got to figure out the rest of these guys. But again, when the playoffs roll around, if other guys aren't responding, like, Jaylen's got to be in there more.
Well, Marcus Morris has never lacked for confidence, so I don't worry about that. I
mean, that's
there's
true.
Nothing that's going to stop him from shooting. So, I mean, I don't think that should really be part of Brad's consideration here.
Howard and Randolph on the Celtics playoff push. Hey, Howard.
How you doing, guys?
What's up?
Assuming the Celtics survive the playing of Marcus Not So Smart and maybe the fourth or fifth beat Indiana, is there a chance that Philly can get the number two seed? And if not, can they still beat Toronto when they face up in the second round?
It looks like, I don't think so.
No, I mean, it's 3.5 games at this point.
Yeah, with, what, 10 to play?
Yeah, about that. I mean, the Raptors have actually played 73 games, so they have 9 left. And the 76ers have played 72, so they have 10 left.
And bring up, you just brought up to me something during the commercial break. Yeah. I hadn't even realized. So with 10 to play for the Celtics, go ahead.
Yeah, they're 43-29. So with this tremendous collection of talent, and with Kyrie sitting out some of these regular season games, they could be challenged to go 7-3 over the final 10, which is what they need to do to win 50 games. Can you imagine this team not winning 50 games with this collection of talent? And also, oh, by the way, every year Brad Stevens has been in Boston, the win total has gone up. We're already guaranteed that that's not going to happen this year. But to not win 50 games, yikes.
That would be glaring proof of what a massive disappointment that this season
is. At least
is.
The regular season.
Did McCone, do you remember what the over-under was at the beginning of the year for this team?
Wasn't it like 60 or something close to that?
I want to say it was like 58.
Yeah, it was something up there,
Oh, my God, yeah.
And I remember, I think I took the over.
If they finished with 49, ugh, oh, God. Let's go to Mark in Roslindale. Maybe this guy is the
answer. Hey, guys, I just want to get your opinion on the signing of Greg Monroe, especially in the light of Baines being out and how well they usually play with Baines. Do you think Monroe can fill that spot? And to your point, Jim, about Jalen starting for Marcus Morris, I mean, when Baines is healthy, last year they would start Baines instead of Morris when they struggled. Have you thought about that at all? All right, I'll hang up and listen. Thanks, guys.
All right, thank you very much. Well, I don't know how much Greg Monroe can help right now. I mean, if they wanted someone who was tall and out of shape, I know I was available for far less money on a 10-day
Come
contract.
But he's a good passer.
He's all right. 38 games. So he was signed by the Raptors in the offseason, traded to the Nets, released during the year, 38 games, averaged 4.8 points, 4.1 rebounds, and 11 minutes for the Raps. Okay, so they can use him in terms of size for rebounding, which has obviously been an issue, and this is more about insurance for Aaron Baines, right?
Yeah, but that's what I think it is.
I don't know. How about just more minutes for Robert Williams if you need a big?
Yeah, you know, Robert Williams, he's given them some good energy at times this year.
Especially at home. The crowd loves the time board.
Including the Sacramento game. You know, he's giving him some good energy. There's no question. He's lacking a little bit in physicality, which could be an issue for him. But I do like his ability to get on the glass and to rebound. But, you know, I mean, you guys all watch the Celtics play. You know, even Baines, since he got here, has been a guy who they've had shoot threes. Brad likes the idea of five guys that are sort of interchangeable and that can space the floor. Robert Williams really should never – he should only step outside the paint to make sure he doesn't get called for 3 seconds. Like, that's it.
Let's go to Derek in Plymouth with another Celtics thought. Derek, you're next here on Gasper Murray.
I really think the tone gets set because Kyrie's soft. He's like tissue paper. And I think McCone said the other day, like what Smart did. They need some grit. They have no grit. And it's like, you look at Tom Brady, he wouldn't come off the field if they're losing by 3 touchdowns. He doesn't want to come out. And this guy says he'll take days off. And how can you follow that leader? You know, it's...
Yeah, so they, and thanks for the call, Derek. You were out. You were on vacation, Chris. You might have missed it as McCone was in as we were filling in for Felger and Mass this week. I have since dubbed Tim McCone Bloodlust McCone. He's our very own American psycho. Our own Patrick Bateman is in our midst because he loved what Marcus Smart did because he, like the caller, feels like the Celtics need more of that, like, pissed off energy.
Pissed off stupidity? Sure. Yeah, more of that.
Look, was it an overreaction? Absolutely. But I just think that this team has kind of been in a malaise all season long. So for someone to show like a little passion and look, it was it over the top? Absolutely. But to have someone stand up for yourself, show some pride, I didn't actually hate it. And normally, like with championship teams, those can kind of be galvanizing moments. Like I look at Varitek and A-Rod, that's like celebrated throughout the ball of Boston. For this, because the Celtics don't respond, he gets crushed for it, but I didn't hate it.
Yeah, I just didn't think it was the time or the place, and I also just didn't think it was... I'm all for standing up for yourself. Like, you know, what was it, Perk and Jay Crowder a couple of years ago in the playoffs? Like, that's one where you stand up for yourself. Like, you know, Perk's a guy, he can hurt you, and sometimes he's trying to hurt you. And Embiid, I mean, that's just the NBA. I thought Smart lost his cool and way overreacted, which to me is a symbol of this team. You know, when things aren't going their way or they don't like it, they lose their cool and way overreact. You know, they lose to the Clippers. It's no fun. You know, if something doesn't go Kyrie Irving's way, like he overreacts. When I look at it overall, there are three leaders, Kyrie Irving, Marcus Morris, Marcus Smart, all lack emotional equanimity and all have a tendency to overreact. And I think what you get with that is a team that lacks consistency and is up and down, up and down. Now, I give Kyrie a lot of credit for this. He's spoken about this, what I'm talking about. He's recognized it. He's tried to rectify it. It's a work in progress for him. The other two guys, I think, That's just their game, and that's the way they play, and that's okay if you're not putting them front and center as leaders, if you're putting them in that position as role players that give you that edge you're talking about, McCone.
Yeah.
But when you elevate them to a level where they're basically on Kyrie's level, and here's this three-person leadership tribunal of the Celtics bitching at Jaylen Brown and bitching at Jason Tatum, and then they're telling him, you got to do it the right way, and then Embiid brushes Smart in the head, and he shoves him and gets tossed out of the game. Like, if I'm Brown or Tatum, I'm looking around, and I'm like, do you believe this, S? Like, this, I gotta listen to this guy?
Yeah.
Like, what? This guy can't even control himself.
See, I think the leadership thing is a huge issue because I'm big on that. I just think that in that situation, that could have been a moment where the team kind of like rallied around Marcus Smart in that situation. And obviously, it goes the other way.
I think the team was looking around, not to interrupt, but I think the team was looking around and being like, what
is happening?
Yeah, why did he do that? Like, what happened?
I would say everyone jumped in and kind of defended him, except Kyrie Irving was about 100 feet away from everyone else, the one guy that didn't jump in on that.
But as I said, as it turns out, our very own mild-mannered McCone.
He really does want bloodlust, huh?
Yep.
I'll just say,
waiting for someone to look at him cross-eyed.
I mean, I know we got to take a little time out here. I'll just say on Kyrie not getting in that mix, I have no problem with that. Because one of my favorite athletes of all time was Deion Sanders. Sometimes, as Deion would say, you have to make a business decision.
Yeah.
And that was a business decision.
Well, as you talk, you mentioned football here, too. Something else pissed McCone off this week. And that's how the Patriots missed out after wide receiver, after wide receiver, after wide receiver. Doesn't feel like
what?
They've done.
No, they didn't, McCone. Maurice Harris, bro.
Oh, yeah. And Bruce Ellington.
Forgot about that, yeah.
Get very excited about Bruce Ellington. I want to get your thoughts on the Patriots offseason while you were away. We'll touch on that. And should they trade for a wide receiver, specifically one in Minnesota? We'll get to that next here on Gasper. Gasper and Murray, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Gasper and Murray, 98.5, the Sports Hub. You're listening to Gasper and Murray.
Fantastic chemistry.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Bill's looking for his red hanky. And enthusiastically, he tosses it onto the turf. A challenge from Belichick. He's into it with Adam Thielen.
I just thought the play was cheap. Man, I wasn't directing it towards him. I just thought the play was cheap. But like I said, I let the emotions get the best of me because it's a smart football play. If you are in that situation, why not? It's not cheating because there's no rule against it from a guy going down. And I don't know if he's hurt or not. He might have been hurt, but that's fine. It is what it is. But like I said, just interesting timing for a guy to go down when it's a close play.
He too sent some words your way. No offense taken, I'm guessing.
No offense taken. He can think what he wants to think about me, and it doesn't really change how I'm going to go play the game. So he can hate me all he wants, and I'm going to still be the same person I am. And I'm going to try to go out and do my best, and I'm going to try to compete every play.
Did you talk to him after the game?
I did not, no.
Patriots fans remember that from last year, the win over the Minnesota Vikings. That was Vikings wide receiver Adam Thielen, who took issue with the challenge flag thrown. It was delayed a little bit because Patrick Chung, Patriot safety, might have been faking an injury on a 4th-and-1 so that Belichick could look up, watch the video, and say, yeah, no, I do want to challenge that. So they get in the jawn match, Thielen and Belichick, or Belichick, MFs him, and they're going back and forth. So that happened after that game. And the reason we play that is because Mark Daniels, who covers the Patriots for the Providence Journal, wrote this week that maybe the Patriots should try to trade for Thielen because he's in the last year of his deal. There's been no contract negotiations to really speak of between Thielen and Minnesota. So why not trade for him? Because it feels like they got to do something, Chris, because they missed out on more guys this week, including Randall Cobb, who they reportedly had trade interest in last year. He ends up going to, where did he go? Dallas? Yeah, the Dallas Cowboys.
Put my mic on. Dallas Cowboys.
Ian Rappaport, and it's a different position, but still, Ian Rappaport also was first reporting when free agency started up that they were going to, and I quote, kick the tires on tight end Jared Cook. He gone. He goes to the New Orleans Saints. So it's just more players they're missing out on, and it feels especially thin at wide receiver. Should they trade for someone like Thielen?
I would love that. The question is, what do you have to give up? I mean, also, why would the Vikings? The Vikings have invested so much in their team and Kirk Cousins, and now they'll have Dalvin Cook. They changed offensive coordinators. Obviously, that happened during the year. Excuse me. They got rid of John DeFilippo, and it seems like they're just so invested. They gave Stephon Diggs a contract. Why would they do that? I mean, especially why would you do that when you could just have Thielen play out this year and then franchise him and either re-sign him off the franchise tag, make him play out another year in the franchise tag, or trade him off the franchise tag? Why would you move him now?
Yeah, I guess it makes no sense. But maybe it's just gotten so bad between the player and the team that he doesn't want to be there, and it's untenable.
But he's from Minnesota.
Yeah.
He went to college in Minnesota.
Oh, right, right.
He grew up a Vikings fan. I don't know. I mean, it would probably take a lot. You know, I'm sure that the Vikings probably are like, look, we want to see like another year of you doing this, because he's done it basically the last 2 years. You know, let's see another year of this, and then we'll pay you. And I'm sure Thielen is like, hey, I want to be paid like Antonio Brown, or I want to be paid like Odell Beckham Jr. And they're probably like, slow your roll here. If there's one of those guys that I would think would get traded, I would actually wouldn't be surprised if they moved on from Diggs in order to be able to clear the money to sign Thielen. And Diggs was a guy that the Patriots liked coming out in that draft.
I
and
they love him.
They were sort of in the range of where he was drafted, and the Vikings made a trade with the Falcons and got in position to get Diggs. And I believe the Patriots, this is just off the top of my head, so if I'm wrong, I'm sure someone will let me know. The Patriots traded out of that round, the fourth round, and then ended up drafting Joe Cardona the next round.
Yeah, that was real necessary. So just looking at their offseason, especially how they've handled wide receiver, if not Thielen, do you want to just see a trade? Is this the answer here? Or do they draft finally in the first round and take a wide receiver?
Well, the thing about drafting a wide receiver, there might be somebody who's there and who's good, but how long will it take them to earn Brady's trust and get on the same page? You know, there was somebody in that locker room last year I talked to who's among the group of pass catchers who, you know, was not in any way knocking Brady, but just sort of pointed out that, you know, it's a lot to learn here, and you have to do a lot to earn Tom's trust. And the person pointed out, I thought rather astutely, look around. How many young guys do you really see here? And he said, that's not by accident. So, you know, the idea of bringing in young guys for Tom, it's kind of tough. You're probably better off with somebody who's already established. I mean, there are guys I like. You know, Mohamed Sanu is a guy that I've mentioned. But again, the indications I've been given is that he's not available with the Falcons. Now, they did just bring back Justin Hardy as a wide receiver there. And they have Calvin Ridley, our guy, who the Patriots could have drafted last year. And Julio Jones is going to have to get paid. So maybe if there's a deal for Julio Jones, if he gets a new contract, maybe suddenly Sanu is on the block. I think he'd be a perfect fit for the Patriots. I still like Nelson Agholor. I don't know what Philly plans to do there, but you could kick the tires on him. He's in the fifth year of his rookie deal. He's on that fifth-year option at about $9.3 million. He's a slot guy. As you know, Jim, a little slippery out of that slot.
So I don't know if you saw this because you were on vacation and came back last night, but they finally were able to free up a little bit more room. They renegotiated with Stephon Gilmore, but there's also been talks with Steven Gostkowski. So maybe that's about getting him back in the fold. But are you surprised that there hasn't been a Brady extension yet?
I am a little surprised by that, and I wonder what would be holding that up. I don't know, you know, why that hasn't happened yet, and it would make sense. And it's weird. It's weird from Tom's side of it, just because he's always been about helping the team. Now, last year was sort of the first time we heard that he was like, you know, go screw on the contract stuff.
Sure.
Like, I know my cap number's high. And that made sense coming off what had happened and the whole Cold War with Bill. But I'm surprised that this offseason he's not clamoring to get something done just to help the team and clear up some of that cap space where it ultimately helps him.
Can you give me a couple of minutes on the latest with the Robert Kraft developments with what's going on in Florida? This I'm reading from the New York Post. His powerful legal team, quote, surprised and disappointed that prosecutors in Florida have denied the request to stop the sexual and graphic videos from inside the Asian spa going public. Kraft's lead attorney, William Burke, revealed that the West Palm Beach state attorney has refused to agree to the request for a protective order over the evidence in the case, including the hidden video footage of the men inside the Orchids of Asia day spa. It really feels like they're holding this over Kraft's head to me.
Yeah.
So that they will get him to admit, like, yes, I was there.
This is what I said on Felger and Mass and got shouted down.
Yeah, of course you did.
Yeah, exactly. That's what I said. I mean, you're going to use this video, and I'm not surprised. I have to say, you know, I've had personal dealings with Robert Kraft, and I've seen what he's done in the community, and he's a great guy, and he's always treated me very well. But I am a little disappointed. I mean, this is the ultimate rich guy trying to get off of something that he's guilty as sin with, and just trying to use a technicality to get away with it. And it just bothers me a little bit. All he has to do, first of all, it's very apparent to me that he had nothing to do with, nor did he know anything about the human trafficking. Okay? So we can take that out of there, right? So he goes to this establishment and has these acts performed. And it's pretty clear that money was exchanged. All you have to do is say you made an error in judgment, you made a mistake, you are remorseful, and then you donate a bunch of money to human trafficking, and that's it. But instead, This is being treated like it's Deflategate or Spygate, and they're going to push it to the limit and try and find, you know, they're going to fight tooth and nail to the very end and try and find some technicality to say that, oh, you know, this never actually happened and there's no actual guilt here. When the reality is, for Robert Kraft, he's already lost in the court of public opinion.
Without question.
And God forbid this video comes out. It's not worth it, man. Just say you made an error in judgment, you made a mistake, make a huge donation to a human trafficking prevention organization, and move on.
Yeah, thank you for saying that, because I feel the exact same way, and I think that it blows over if you do cop to it. I don't understand why he's so defiant, and he really is, and I'll retweet this. There's a really good column on this whole situation, and some former teammates, including Tom, and now even Tom Brady, they have quotes from in the New York Times about what's going on with Robert Kraft and this whole situation in Florida called Robert Kraft Awaits Your Judgment, and I'll retweet this so you can read it for yourself. But this, here's the part that pissed me off. Because behind the scenes, yeah, he really, it's not just outwardly and with this defense team, he's being this defiant. This is the meat of this story that I was like, oh, come on. Like, really? Just, dude, like, anyone with a working brain knows you did it. It's a crime of vice. Not many people really care. Here's the quote, or the part of the story, rather. As his lawyers fight the case, Mr. Kraft has been described by friends as conflicted. He is angry about what he did and ashamed of the embarrassment he has caused, yet insistent that he did nothing illegal, and is defiant enough to hire a very expensive legal team to battle charges that most people settle quickly. So on the one, like, what? You're upset you got caught, but you did it. And not really, I don't think, like, the world at large really cares, so just admit it so that the video doesn't see the light of day.
Like, here's the thing, I actually feel like, and I understand, like, you know, personally having this attached to your name, somebody of Robert Kraft's stature, it's embarrassing, and I understand why he would want it expunged and erased and he wants to fight. I get that part of it. But the part I feel like maybe he's missing is that by fighting this the way he is and extending it, he's actually making it worse. And it's
definitely
becoming more and more attached to him. Instead of a lot of people, I think, would honestly be sympathetic's probably not the right word, maybe empathetic, and say, okay, here's a gentleman with a lot of power, a lot of means, an older guy. You know, he decided to do this, you know, in a moment of weakness. He did it. It's, you know, whatever. And there's no real crime here. You know, solicitation is like this is a crime, you know. And people would be like, that's fine. And he'd move on. But the way that he's fighting it, I think it creates more resentment from people.
Well, it's funny you said that, because one of his very friends is quoted in this column. This is, casual friends of Mr. Kraft think the public reaction overblown. Quote, I can understand someone being 77 and going to a massage parlor, said Larry King. This is Larry. I can understand someone being 77 and going to a massage parlor. He's an older man who finds himself with a need, and that need gets satisfied. Why do we care? He also added, try garlic. It's an old commercial that not many people probably remember. But Larry King's right. Like, who really cares? Just cop to it. It goes away. And we have breaking news on this story. Go.
This is breaking sports news.
Powered by Valvoline Instant Oil Change.
On 98.5, the Sports Hub.
What timing? What do we got, McCone?
Yeah, Adam Schefter just releasing a statement from Robert Kraft that is very lengthy. I don't know. Do you want to read it there, Jim, or do you want me to?
Well, I threw to you, McCone.
Okay. All right, here we go. Statement from Robert Kraft. In deference to the judicial process, I have remained silent these past several weeks to correct some of the misinformation surrounding this matter. My attorney made his first public comments on Friday night. I would like to use this opportunity to say something that I have wanted to say for 4 weeks. I am truly sorry. I know I have hurt and disappointed my family, my close friends, my coworkers, our fans, and many others who rightfully hold me to a higher standard. Throughout my life, I have always tried to do the right thing. The last thing I would ever want to do is disrespect another human being. I have extraordinary respect for women. My morals and my soul were shaped by the most wonderful woman, the love of my life, who I was blessed to have as my partner for 50 years. As I move forward, I hope to continue to use the platform with which I have been blessed to help others and to try to make a difference. I expect to be judged not by my words, but by my actions. And through those actions, I hope to regain your confidence and respect.
Okay, where's I did it and I'm going to drop fighting the case? Where's that?
It's not in there. But I think this is an important step. I do appreciate this. I think that there is some culpability taken here. And also, here's the thing. Here's the other thing, Jim. And I know you feel strongly about the statement, so I'll try and make it quick and let you comment on it. But if you're so innocent, then I need to hear from you. enough with the lawyers and the statements. You tell me how innocent. If you feel that strongly about it and you're so innocent and you didn't do anything wrong, then I need to hear it directly from you.
Yeah, and this is great. And I think that it's an important step. But with this, I think, personally, should also come, hey, yes, I did it. We're going to drop this. And poof, it all goes away. And the next thing, because, by the way, I think whether he's found guilty or innocent anyway, the NFL is still going to come down on him and punish him because of the stain on the league with this story. Guilty or not, he's still going to get, I think, you know, 6 games and probably $500,000, just like Jim Irsay did years ago when he got pulled over for the DUI. It's the same thing. Like, that's coming. So, all right, good on his part doing this, but just...
Well, he did say, I am truly sorry. The thing is, he didn't say what he was sorry for.
Right, right. Okay, so a statement from Patriots owner Robert Kraft, that has been released. We'll retweet this, too. Adam Schefter has just put this out on Twitter, in case you haven't checked it out already. That has been retweeted, along with that New York Times story that I was just referencing. Larry King, though, is right. And try Garlic. Here is McCone to get you caught up with the latest, including breaking Bruins news today. Some good, some bad. McCone with the headlines, and then back to your calls here on Gasper Murray, 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Sports Hub headlines.
All right, we'll stick with the Patriots for now. Former Pats wide receiver Malcolm Mitchell officially announcing that he is retired from football at an event at his alma mater at Georgia. So Malcolm Mitchell done, the 2016 fourth-round pick for the New England Patriots. In the NCAA, it is LSU all over Maryland right now. They have a comfortable lead in the second half, 44-31 with 16 minutes to go. Boston Bruins and Zdeno Chara agreeing on a one-year contract extension worth $2 million that could get bumped up to an additional $1.75 million in performance-based incentive. The news not as good for Sean Corrali. The team announcing he sustained a fracture in his right hand against the Devils on Thursday. Corrali had successful surgery to repair the fracture, is expected to miss about a month. The Bruins, meanwhile, take on the Panthers tonight, and you can catch the game right here, 98.5 The Sports Hub. Judd Surratt, Bob Bierstadt, college coverage beginning at 6:30. Celtics also in action. They visit the Hornets. Boston can clinch a playoff spot and a win. Can clinch a playoff spot with a win and a Heat loss to the Wizards. There you go. That's what I was trying to say. Pre-game tonight begins at 5:30 on our sister station, 105.7 WROR. Sean Graney, Cedric Maxwell have you for that one. In college hockey, BC takes on Northeastern in the Hockey East Championship. Puck drops at 7 at TD Garden. Sports Hub headlines brought to you by Marquee Jewelers. It's the spring engagement event with over 1,000 U-rated engagement rings in stock at wholesale prices. Pay no interest for 12 to 24 months, 80 Winchester Street in Newton, or MarqueeJewelers.com. I'm Tim McCone, Boston's home for sports, 98.5 The Sports. Every next update, 30 minutes.
Stay tuned for more Gasper and Murray on 98.5 The Sports Hub. Spring means mud. Mud means Jeep, and Jeep means Salvador. It's the spring sales event at Salvador Chevy Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram and Gardner, where you'll find the best selection of your favorite Jeep models priced right and ready to move. Just off Route 2 in Gardner and at salvadorauto.com.
Born of cold Russian winters, the wheat of hammer and sickle is hand-cleared in the Black Earth region, then dry-shipped to the distillery, where masters of the craft distill and filter hammer and sickle 6 times, transforming the harvest into a smooth, super-premium vodka, worthy of its Russian heritage. Hammer and Sickle. Super Premium Vodka. Russian Reborn. 40% alcohol by volume. Imported by Clean Spirits LLC, Massachusetts. Please enjoy responsibly.
Hi, welcome to this ad for Subway.
This is Gasper and Murray.
You will listen.
98.5, The Sports Hub.
This is a special place. This is a special group of people. A very special city and an unbelievable fan base. Not to mention the fact that, you know, we got a hell of a team, and we're going to have that team for a few years to come. So it's a good place for me. It's a good spot. I love playing here. I'd love to keep playing here. And we'll see how it works out. You know, that's what all this stuff is for. You know, you have agents, contracts, all this stuff. I'm going to let them play that out. And if it works, it works. If not, it's been a blast. You know, I have no hard feelings, no ill will, and just keep doing what I do.
That's Red Sox ace Chris Sale back in February talking about a hypothetical deal coming down the road. And, well, that day came. It was made official today. The Red Sox, Chris Sale, agreeing to a 5-year contract extension, kicks in 2020, comes in at 5 years, $145 million. And there's more to this than initially reported yesterday, as Sale's contract includes an opt-out clause, a no-trade clause, a club vesting option. The opt-out is after 2022. But the big breaking news in the last 10 minutes or so is that Patriots owner Robert Kraft has put out a statement in regard to the whole situation in Florida. Now 4 weeks later, and but the most important part of the statement, in case you haven't read it yet, if that hasn't popped up in your socials, it reads, the most important part is that Robert Kraft said, quote, "I expect to be judged not by my words, but by my actions. And through those actions, I hope to regain your confidence and respect." But still fighting the case in Florida. Your thoughts on this and anything else we've touched on so far today here on Gasper Murray on 98.5 The Sports Hub at 617-779-0985. We talked about the offseason and the stuff on the field and the fact that the wide receiver situation, still not great. Rocco and Saugus, your thoughts. Hey, Rocco.
Yeah, hey, what's going on? Listen, I had a question for Chris. I called earlier this week. I feel like the Patriots this season, man, with the GMs and NFL, they don't want to do trades. And then I think, Murray, your counterpartner earlier the week, Adam Jones, said, well, you know, GMs did over their trade with the Patriots with Michael Bennett. And my thing was, yeah, Michael Bennett's not a top five player on his position. I mean, A.J. Green, like if the Patriots want to get A.J. Green, I feel like you have to overpay. That's what I would do with the Patriots if I was a GM for the Cincinnati. If you want a player, any type of player, you're a Shepherd from the Giants, you have to overpay for him because they know the Patriots are desperate. I don't know, Chris. I want your thoughts on that. And on top of that, Murray, I heard you talk about Netflix movies, the documentaries that you're into. Watch the Motley Crue one. That's so dope, that Motley Crue movie. I watched it last night. You'll love it, bro.
Oh, I can't wait. Saturday, guys. Yeah, you too, Rocco. Yeah, thanks, no, I know it dropped yesterday. That's my plan for tomorrow. Going to watch The Dirt. Love the book, and it looks so sleazy. It's a biopic. Anyway, are teams reluctant to maybe trade with the Patriots outside of the Michael Bennett deal? Because it's like, well, we're sick of you winning. We're not helping you.
Yeah, I think there's some legitimacy to that. I mean, look, in the Odell Beckham Jr. reporting, Chris Sims had this, that the Giants were ready to deal him. The right. Patriots showed some interest, and then the Giants kind of got cold feet. Like, oh, man, like, oh, do we want to send him to Belichick? So I think there's some legitimacy to that. Just some of the names that have been mentioned, though, like A.J. Green, I don't know that those players are even available. Like, if you're Zach Taylor taking that job as a new coach of the Bengals, do you want them to trade the best wide receiver when you're an offensive coach? Why would you do that?
Right.
So maybe A.J. Green is available. I mean, I recognize he's in the last year of his deal, but a young coach like that, I'm just not sure. Some of these targets we're throwing out there for the Patriots,
oh,
I'm
it's
not
more
sure
hope than anything.
Yeah,
else.
I'm not sure these guys are available, and the Patriots would have to overpay for these guys, not because they're the Patriots and the other teams are afraid of them winning, but because it's like, oh, we don't really want to trade this guy, so if you're going to blow us away, fine. Yeah, 4 first-round picks for Adam Thielen? Yeah, sure, here you go. Take him.
Let's go to Paul in the car on the Robert Kraft statement today. Hey, Paul.
Hey, good afternoon, guys. Good job with your analysis on the situation. I started listening right before you read the statement. And I'm not a Patriots fan. I'm definitely more interested in the human aspect of what's going on, you know, certainly how it impacts him and the Patriots. You know, I do live up in the area. I've lived up here a long time. I'm also very interested in the aspect of, I'll call it the victim side. I know that this is a spa, massage place. They're involved in other types of massage that they shouldn't be. And I think his statement got me about 50% there feeling like maybe he does get it. And I'm sure it was the wording was crafted very carefully from his legal counsel. But at the end of the day, they have him on video. He's got to, you know, get this over with and save future embarrassment, which is going to happen if he just keeps fighting it. And I'll point to Bob Irsay and how he handled his problems. And, you know, he had exposure, yes, but I think, you know, he checked himself in. He did everything he needed to do. He was punished by the NFL, and that is now history. I'd like to see Mr. Kraft handle it a little bit more similar to that. I want to hear your thoughts.
Well, I'll say a couple of things on that. I mean, I think in Robert Kraft's mind, and he would never say this, but, I mean, an owner the caliber of Jim Irsay is, frankly, beneath him in the NFL hierarchy. So, I mean, I think that sort of comparison, while it makes a lot of sense, is not something that would really appeal to Robert Kraft. I think the setup here, my understanding, I'm not a lawyer, if someone can correct me, but from what I've read, Florida law is really specific on solicitation. And I think that one of the possible outs for Kraft here is that, yes, they have him on video. the act happen, exchanging the money. But my understanding is Florida law is so specific that if you don't have, like, you know, proof that somebody asked for it. And so I do not believe on these videos, none of us have seen them, that there's any audio. So if there's no audio of him actually asking for these acts to be performed, then ergo, he has the very thinly veiled, but in the American legal system, that is all you need, is thinly veiled, defense of this happened. Yes, money exchanged hands, but it wasn't for this. It was just a fit of passion between me and this middle-aged massage therapist. So that is a flimsy defense, but it's one that could also work. And I think it's sort of one that he's clinging to.
And while there's no legal admission of guilt here from this statement that's been put out by Patriots owner Robert Kraft today, I think it is the right move. But it's also interesting timing, considering that the NFL owners' meetings are about to start.
Oh, yeah, Sunday. Everybody starts. That's a great point. That is a fantastic point, because everybody can start rolling in there on Sunday. Now, yeah, that's a great point.
Do you think that with this statement, that means that other owners aren't going to be asked now when they get cameras and microphones stuffed in their faces?
No, they're still going to be asked. I mean, what they think the punishment should
be. Of course.
And by the way, no matter what those owners say to anybody's face behind the scenes, they are like sharks in the water. They smell blood. They're circling. They are relishing the fact that something bad could happen to the Patriots and that there could be a punishment for Robert Kraft. That's where the jealousy comes in. Trust me. Those other owners want to see him, you know, get it. And just the last thing I'll say on this, too. The way this is all setting up, and I said this on Felger and Maz too, I very much think that Robert Kraft can win this case. But I think he could win the case and lose the war. Because to me, if that video comes out, even if you win the case, then it wasn't worth it. You've lost.
Yeah, not guilty and innocent are two completely different things. You know, like the public perception is like, dude, you did it. Like,
yeah.
So either way, there's an update on this whole thing, courtesy of Albert Breer of MMQB, who just tweeted minutes ago after this statement has come out from Patriots owner Robert Kraft. He will be at this week's annual meeting in Arizona for the NFL owners, but he has been told, Bert Breer, that Robert Kraft has been advised by his legal team not to speak publicly while this case is pending, so he will not speak at the owners' meetings.
So that's really interesting, because one thing I know, you know, Robert Kraft does like to do at the owners' meetings, he does like to hold court with the local reporters and sort of give a state of the team. And he's very good at that, and he's very generous with his time with that. And I think he actually looks forward to that give and take with the reporters. So is Bert indicating that's not going to happen? Because he could start the thing out and say, I'm not going to answer any questions about this and try and answer other questions about the team. And maybe the reporters all agree to that. But there's always one, you know, Chris Gasper, like turd in the punch bowl, that's going to say, just to go back to your legal trouble here, like I have to ask, because it's actually my job, you know, not to wave the pom-poms for the team. My job is to ask you about this. So I'm wondering how that's going to work in Arizona, whether he'll address any of their local reporters at all or not.
I feel a little bit ripped off, and I don't know how you feel, McCone, because you said in the last, like, 3 days of Felger and Maz, we could have used this news so much this week.
Oh, big
this,
time.
The Chara stuff. Like, come on. Here we are, like, scraping the bottom of the barrel, like, talking about the Kyrie comments for, like, three straight days. Damn you. But a good day for news here on a Saturday. We have one segment to go before we segue to Christian Arcand, who's coming up right after us. It's five questions for Chris Gasper. I got nothing to do with sports. That's next here on 98.5 of Sports Hub.
This is Gasper and Murray on 98.5 of Sports Hub.
I don't want to run into Chris and Arcand's time too much. Let's run through these as fast as possible here, Chris. Question number one for you, Chris Gasper. It's got nothing to do with sports. If you could be stuck on a desert island with anyone real or fictional, who would it be?
Real or fictional?
You're stuck there in a desert island. You need to survive.
I would say Jessica Alba. Well, she has all those Honest products, so she knows how to make stuff out of nature that we would need. And then I'm sure there's also some other entertaining things that we'd be able to do on the island.
Good luck explaining that one away to your wife later. I would go with John Rambo. That's a man who gets things done.
Okay.
He won't be fazed by the elements. Question number two. Europe's first underwater restaurant opened in Norway recently. Already has a six-month waiting list, Chris.
Wow.
Sounds fancy. You're a fancy boy. Is there any restaurant you would wait 6 months to try?
Yes. What's that restaurant in? Is French Laundry? out in Napa. I've always wanted to go to that.
That's the name of it?
Yeah, French Laundry.
Oh, God.
Yeah, I would wait 6 months to go to that restaurant.
Daddy, can you get me into French Laundry? I'll try, Chris. Of course I would. I'm also a pretentious douche, so who am I kidding? Question number three. It's technically spring. Spring is a season. Your thoughts?
Doesn't exist here. We don't have spring. We have a cold, rainy season that starts after tax day, and then summer shows up in June. I was just in Charleston, South Carolina. A place like that, they have spring. It was nice to remember what spring is like. But no, thanks to global warming, we no longer have spring.
We really don't. And I'm glad you just said this, because when I lived in Atlanta, I was like, oh my God, they have real spring here. And it's beautiful, and it's maybe the best time to live in the South. Here, it doesn't exist anymore. Question number four. Chris, if you were in a circus, would you rather be the person with their head inside the lion's mouth or get shot out of a cannon?
Oh, ooh. I guess shot out of a cannon, because at least temporarily until you land, you have that feeling of flying.
Yeah, the answer is shot out of a cannon for me as well, because animals are not for your entertainment, you stupid rubes. That's why the circus should be banned. Final question. On the heels of the Leaving Neverland documentaries on HBO, which you and I have seen, and they're horrible, Barbara Streisand, remember her?
Yeah.
She says that Michael Jackson's accusers were, quote, thrilled to be there, and his, quote, sexual needs were his sexual needs. Chris Gasper, should Barbara Streisand be kicked into an active volcano?
Oh, I love Babs, but yes. Oh, man, that's so disappointing.
What a horrible.
Why would she say that?
Confused idiot. Oh, my God. I can't. I was like, what? Is this real? Oh, yeah, no, that's what she said.
I didn't know she was senile now. Jeez.
Thrilled to be there.
Oh,
and so concludes five questions for Chris.
Well, I was thrilled to be here.
Nothing to do with sports. Me too. And this fulfilled my sexual needs, Chris, as well. Want to thank Brian Robb, who produced the show today. He, of course, on Celtics coverage on BostonSportsJournal.com. Check him out there. Kristen Sermon also helping out to produce the show. Tim McCone on the Sports Up headlines. And for you, Chris, welcome back.
Hey, good to be back.
Enjoy the rest of your weekend. We have Christian Arcan coming up next. And how about you? You get news to talk about today.
We do. First of all, can I use a different chair? If this satisfied you so much, it seems like it was maybe a big show for you guys. Sarge and I taking you up until 5 o'clock. Then it's the Joe Show. We'll talk a little bit of Celtics and Bruins leading into those games. This new Kraft statement we'll pick apart a little bit. And some thoughts on the Chris Sale signing. There was that press conference today. He's pitching right now. We'll dive into that off the top here.
All right, Arcan's coming up next. You want to get on with him? 617-779-0985. That will do it for me. I will talk to you Monday with the return of Felger and Maz at 2 o'clock here on 98.5 The Sports Hub on Monday. Have a good one. Bye.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.